Good morning and welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. My name is Derek Ingfelt. I'm the pastor here at Emmanuel in Saratoga, California, and I welcome you to this virtual service of worship on this 26th of July, 2020. This is our 20th presentation of our worship in this manner, and we appreciate you joining us in this time. Today's theme is Words of Wisdom While We Wait. Let us pray. Good and gracious and glorious God, once again we come before you in great thanksgiving for your faithful and abiding presence. Today we gather from far and wide to praise you for your life-giving word that both convicts us and brings us comfort, hope, and inspiration. Lift our spirits in praise before you now, for you alone are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening song, Softly and Tenderly. Song, Softly and Tenderly, as we gather together in our Lord's name this day. We gather together at a very somber time still in our country, as now more than 4 million people have been infected by COVID-19, and more than 145,000 in our country have died. Worldwide, it has reached 15 million people. We continue to pray for an end of this time, that an effective vaccine will be discovered and disseminated. During this time of change, as communities close down again or sometimes open up, I encourage you to use caution, to consider your neighbor, and to be good examples of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Community connection is so important in these days. I encourage you to join us for a time of fellowship following the service Sunday morning at about 9:30 or 9:45, you can join us on Zoom. We would love to see you there. If you have a prayer request you would like to have included in the service, please do email me, and your request will be included in this service, first name only, and we as a community will be praying for you. Also on our church website, every morning by 9 o'clock or thereabouts, you will find our daily bread devotion. Please make good use of that and use the time also to pray along with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Wednesday morning at 10 and Thursday morning at 6:30, we have a Bible study, which you are welcome to join. It's a lot of fun for all involved. On Wednesdays, we are making our way through the Bible, and we are in the Psalms right now. And on Thursdays, we are in Matthew chapter 5, right starting the Sermon on the Mount. Please do consider joining us. Happy special birthday today to Leslie, and happy 55th anniversary to Bob and Pauline. God bless you all at this time of celebration in your lives. And on behalf of the congregation, thank you very much for your ongoing support of our faith community, for your support of the mission and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in and through Emmanuel Lutheran Church, for your faithfulness in reaching out to others in the community with your phone calls, letters, ways that you encourage one another, and for your ongoing financial support, whether you mail in your donations or donate online through Givelify or PayPal. We appreciate your support very much. And finally, if this service is a benefit to you, please do share it with others, pass on the good news, invite them to join in this time of worship. And at this time, we continue with special music, a song, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, sung by Lauren. Chosen for this Sunday in the season of Pentecost is the letter of Paul to the Church of God at Rome, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. The Apostle writes, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom Christ, whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the reading for today. Dearly beloved of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The waiting room. We've all been there. Sometimes it's for a routine visit. Perhaps nothing much to be concerned about, but always good when the exam is finished and you're told that things are fine, or at least status quo. But there are times when your reason for being in the waiting room is not due to a routine exam, but because you've had symptoms. Those sharp pains in your stomach, those bumps that weren't there last week, those bothersome tremors that you've tried unsuccessfully to disguise, your vision that's suddenly gotten worse. And after you check in and wait to be called, your mind has a hard time settling down and standing still as it swims with the possibilities of what may come. What will the doctor find? How will your future unfold? How will your life change? Or perhaps you find yourself in a waiting room of a very different sort, counting the days till you are good and grown to make it through those tumultuous teenage years and be independent to make your own decisions and not have your parents hovering over you. Or you're standing by for your Prince Charming to come along and sweep you off your feet. You've been biding your time for so long, at this point you'd welcome a basic Barney or a plain Pasquale or a dull and drab Didymus, anyone that God would send. Or you might be putting your life on hold for the callback on your recent job interview, or waiting to find out if those adoption papers have finally come through. And what we're all experiencing this year in 2020 might also feel a lot like being in the waiting room. We don't know how long this derailing virus will last, when an effective vaccine will be available to rein it in, or whether or not we will even survive this pandemic unscathed. What will it mean for our future? We're learning all about a temporary new normal, but what will the long-term consequences be? We wait, we wonder, we worry. There's no little anxiety that takes place in the waiting room. Well, in and through ancient words written for another audience, God's word speaks to us today as we wait. It is a word that can give us helpful perspective and keen insight. It's a word that can impart to us peace while we wait, hope for the future, and confidence that we're not alone as we walk through these uncertain days. Paul's epistle to the Romans is arguably his heaviest, deepest, and most profound work. He lays out our fallen human condition. He addresses what God does for us, something we could never do for ourselves. And he counsels us as to what our response should be in the face of the grace that God has so richly poured out on our behalf. And now here in chapter 8, in our reading for today, the apostle has turned the corner. He's already laid out the utter lostness of the human predicament, concluding his 7th chapter on a note of personal confession and despair. "Who will deliver me?" he says. "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And when he begins the 8th chapter, new life is breathed into his listeners, who read the liberating words, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Good news at last. Because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done in his life, death, and resurrection, all applied to our wretched condition, we are saved. We are rescued. We are not condemned. Indeed, much to the contrary. And in the remainder of this precious 8th chapter, Paul lays it all out. He tells us what God has done and what God is doing on our behalf. It is God's word for us today. Paul puts it all into perspective as he begins this latter section of chapter 8 when he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Our present sufferings. Paul does not deny the difficulties. He knows that they are very real, and he freely admits that such is the case. He also offers a corrective, reminding us that the suffering and difficulty that have come our way are not all that there is. In fact, when we set alongside that which God brings and that which is to come, our sufferings and difficulties are seen in a whole new light. They don't even compare, he confidently asserts. "For the glory that will one day be revealed will make our present sufferings pale in comparison. How things appear now is not how they will end up." So, what has God done? And what is God doing? And what bearing does it have on our present difficulties? What difference does it make for you and for me in our time in that waiting room? Well, there are 6 attributes about God, or activities of God, that Paul raises in our reading for today. I've been encouraged by them all, especially in these days, and I hope that some of them will encourage you as well. In the 26th verse we read, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Well, sometimes the struggle is so real and so deep that we don't know how or what to pray. We can't even find the words. Paul himself had been in that place, and he bears witness that the Holy Spirit of God prays for us and intercedes on our behalf. God is our help. God is our merciful intercessor. What grace God has given in the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the one who is at our side, the one who is our help. When in your need you come before the presence of the Almighty in prayer, with your heart and soul focused upon him, sometimes the words will pour forth freely. Other times, all you can do is wordlessly be present in the sight of God. But either way, the Holy Spirit of God is right there with you, interceding on your behalf, both giving you words to pray and praying them for you. You know what it is like to intercede for others, to pray to God on their behalf. What joy to know that in the marvelous mystery of God, God is doing the same on your behalf. God is the merciful intercessor. In the 28th verse, Paul continues, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." Well, many are familiar with this verse, and for good reason. For what hope this brings God's people when we go through difficult times, especially when we cannot see God's purposes in them, when we wonder if we've ruined our own lives beyond repair, or when it appears that evil is getting the upper hand and that the righteous way is being thwarted. But time and time again, we see evidence of this truth that the apostle speaks. No matter what tragedy strikes, no matter what evil threatens to bring down the house, God's goodness rises again through his earthly agents. As from the ashes of the phoenix, God raises up good out of the devastation and destruction that evil brings. God has a way of sorting it all out, bringing it all together, and working it all out for good. God brings about gracious redemption, because that's who God is, and that's what God does. He is the benevolent orchestrator, the masterful director, the creative transformer, the blessed redeemer. God is the amazing integrator. He makes the whole, he makes whole what was once broken, scattered, and decimated. And we will not be surprised to see evidence of God's loving kindness and grace rising up again and again in our hearts and in our world in the midst of these masked months and distanced days. And we will not be at all surprised when one day, perhaps years from now, we will look back on these days and marvel at what God has made of them. For he is the amazing integrator. In verse 29, the apostle continues, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." God has predestined us. There has, over the course of Christian history, been much debate about what predestination means. And that subject alone requires its own sermon, if not series of sermons, if not book. But let it suffice for our purposes this morning that, and for our encouragement and edification in these days, to take it from Dr. Martin Luther, that predestination is a doctrine of comfort, which is to say that you never have to doubt if God has chosen you. If you are a believer, Luther writes, this is evidence that God has, in fact, chosen you. Well, not to get too technical, but in simple terms, yes, God has chosen you. God is guiding you. God is pointing you in the right direction and has set you on a path that leads to transformation into the image of his Son. God is the great elector, the loving initiator. We read in Scripture, we love because he first loved us. And so it is with faith, and so it is with salvation. God has made the first move, transforming your spirit in repentance, opening your heart to believe. God is the loving initiator, and you can rightfully rejoice that he has acted in grace on your behalf. In the 31st verse, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is your gracious provider. By these things, I take Paul to mean all these things, his whole argument so far? What about our human predicament? What about those who would accuse us? What about the hardships we are currently encountering? What shall we say to these things? Well, I'll tell you what we can say. God is for us. And if God is for us, we win. There's no chance we will not win. God has given us his very best when he gave us his Son. And in Jesus, we have no passive participant in the plan of God. He is completely obedient to his Father's will. And yet he says, "No one takes my life away from me. I give it up on my own initiative." God gives us his Son. And if God gives us his Son, the very best that God can give, surely he will not withhold from us any good thing. God is our gracious provider. In these days, for the remainder of your days, and on the other side, God will provide. One more reason to ease our anxiety, and another wise word spoken in this waiting room. In verse 33, the apostle writes, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." God is your faithful protector. Are there those who will rise up to condemn you? Are there those who will rise up to bring a charge against you, to point out your sin, your fallenness, your undeserving? Are there those who will remind you over and over again of that foolish mistake, that regretful decision you have made that has changed your life, that you would take back in a heartbeat if you could, but you can't? Are there those who say they forgive you, but bury the hatchet only to dig it up again and bury it in your back? That's a rather graphic illustration. But what about it? True repentance has happened. You made your peace with God and forgiveness has been extended, but it continues to be brought up again. And you hear the tempter's voice in your head, or you hear the words shouted at you in time of anger. Old wounds are reopened, and here you go again. What about those charges? What about that condemnation? This is what God's word stands. God has made you righteous in and through the sacrifice of his Son. God does not condemn you. You have been set free. Let that word of God, dwell in you. And let it lead you and guide you in your life. God has chosen you in grace and justified you in Jesus. God is your faithful protector, your fierce defender, your powerful bodyguard. You are safe and secure in his faithful care. And in the final section of this reading, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Paul writes. "Shall tribulation or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Is the list long enough and full enough for you? I hope so. Paul takes pains to ensure that you get the message that God is the reliable preserver of your relationship with him. Nothing will be able to separate you or keep you from his love in Jesus Christ. He will not allow anything to come between you and himself. Not only is God the initiator, the one who called you into this relationship. He is the one who takes pains to preserve it. And so we find in Paul's defense of his earlier statement, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. As we continue to walk through these days of waiting, let us lift up our eyes to our loving Heavenly Father, who gives us His Spirit to mercifully intercede on our behalf, who works all things together for good in amazing integration, who lovingly initiates and invites us into relationship with Himself, who graciously provides for all our needs, who faithfully protects us from all who would accuse us, and who reliably preserves us pure and holy for His own beloved possession. As we hear God's word spoken to us today, let it reorient our perspective and give us deeper understanding of the purpose of these days. For God is surely with us in this waiting room, and evermore shall be. Amen. And now let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious and almighty God, we bow our hearts in humble adoration and give you thanks and praise as we go about our work in this Pentecost season, a season of renewal and growth. We pray for your favor, your grace, your comfort and compassion, and healing power to come upon your servants, Dick, Don, and Dorothy, George and Kimberly, Greg, Jace, Josephine and Sam, Christy, May, Nancy, and Thelma. We pray in this COVID-19 season that you would have mercy upon those who are afflicted with this virus, as well as those who grieve the loss of loved ones who have died from it. Be with those who are making decisions, with healthcare workers. Grant all of us patience and steadfastness in these days. We do pray for recovery, vaccine, and a cure. And we thank you for the gift of those you have given to us in our faith community who celebrate their birthdays this coming week. We pray that you would bless them richly in the coming year with all that is good. We thank you for Tom, Colin, and Davis. And for Andre and Anna, and Bob and Pauline, who celebrate their anniversaries this week, continue to draw them close together as husband and wife, even as you draw them close to yourself. We pray for our leaders, especially this day for our president and vice president, that you would grant them wisdom, guidance, insight, humility, and strength. Be with Christ the Good Shepherd Church in San Jose and Pastor Manda, the ministry that is taking place within and beyond their church walls. Be with the Rwamagama School in Rwanda, with those who teach and those who learn, that your name would be glorified in their midst. And be with the families of those who grieve the loss of loved ones in these days, with the Wallace, Mautino, and Mao families. Bless and keep them in your loving grace and comfort them with your everlasting promises. All these spoken prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts we lift before you, trusting in your mercy, as we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us in this service. Please now enjoy our closing music, Hymn to Joy.